In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
This month is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and I can't think of a better person to walk us through this than Dr. Sharon Ford. Sharon, welcome to Mornings with Tom and Toppy. Good to talk with you again.
Well, good morning, Tom and Tavi. Thank you so much for having me on your program this morning.
Well, we always love having you come in. You give great information. And I just wanted to start with, what does child abuse look like in the United States? What are the statistics of this? How many children are abused?
Well, first of all across the nation, we have over 400,000 children in the foster care system. And those children entered the foster care system primarily because of neglect. Mm. Not abuse, but neglect.
Okay.
And neglect looks like leaving children unsupervised in the home, children of very young ages, not getting medical care for young children, not providing them with food and shelter and clothing, sometimes due to poverty. And so more cases are coming into child welfare because of neglect. And then, of course, we do have abuse. We have physical abuse. And, you know, when tensions are high in the home, money is short, situations are not the best. Mom and dad or mom and her boyfriend get into an argument, domestic violence. If a child is in the presence of domestic violence, when the police are called, the police department says that that child is a victim of abuse. And so that child could be removed for that reason, because the child is not in a safe environment. And then, unfortunately, we have children who have educational neglect. Educational neglect is when a child is school age and should be at school, not being homeschooled, but should be in the classroom learning and growing emotionally, and that child is not. And so families have been found charged with educational neglect. Then we have emotional neglect, children whose emotions are just not being tended to. And that one's much more difficult to prove in court, but children who are withdrawn emotionally, who sometimes haven't, their mental development has been challenged because of the lack of stimulation, that's emotional neglect. And then we have children, unfortunately, who are sexually abused by someone who's in the family or family friend or someone in the community. And that child is experienced, all these children have experienced trauma, but that child who's had sexual abuse has even a deeper scar, a deeper wound by being sexually abused. Mm-hmm. All those children need help, and they need people who will step in and love and nurture them, help them get through all that they've experienced so that they can have hope and healing.
So good to have you with us as we're speaking with Dr. Sharon Ford. And you're invited to join the conversation. If you have a question for Dr. Ford, you can go ahead and ask that too. We're talking about child abuse now. And that phone number here, texting your question at 423-629-8900.
And Dr. Ford, you had really tied in abuse with also neglect earlier, saying that most kids actually come into the system due to neglect. And sometimes poverty is part of that. But we know that it happens at every level of society. Talk to us about things that maybe we wouldn't notice about a middle-class family, maybe even with two parents in the home. How could they even neglect a child?
Well, you know, money brings all kinds of privileges to families, and families who have money like to travel oftentimes. And so here we have school-age children who should be, you know, interacting with their family, interacting with their friends, and but the child is being cared for by a nanny, a in-home caregiver, while the parents are off jet-setting. That child might have some depression, might have some acting out behavior because they feel like they're being neglected by their parents. And so they come to the attention of child welfare or their school, and the school's wondering, why is this kid acting out? And they call mom and dad, and they get the nanny, and the nanny goes, well, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so are, and they are, and they are. And the child goes, they ask the child, well, where's your parents? Well, I don't know where they are this week. And so that's a different form of neglect. And but those children sometimes slip through the cracks of child welfare system because the family has additional resources where they can buy lawyers. And they say, you know, I'm going to change my ways. We're going to do this. We're going to take the child with us the next time we travel. And so it's different when you don't have money. You don't have other alternatives that choices that you can make.
Okay, yeah, you're hearing the voice of Dr. Sharon Ford. So it seems like within the system, neglect looks different for different kids depending on I'm just going to use the word means. If a parent has means, there are different ways. But you talked about neglect and abuse. Can neglect lead into abusive situations, or are they always separated?
No, they are very connected.
Okay.
And so so as a child has the absence of supervision, the absence of provision, and the parent strain in the household, the child saying, "Well, we don't have. I need this, or can I go here? I need some new shoes." And the parents, you know, or the single parent is, you know, "We don't have." And you know, conversations go on, and heightened emotions happen. Something gets thrown. Somebody gets jerked. And the next thing you know, that child has a bruise, a mark, a black eye. And when they go off to school or they're seen by another adult, neglect has turned into physical abuse. And that unrest in the household, unfortunately, has sometimes turns into physical abuse. And the children and the parents need help. They need your help.
Yeah.
So thank you for pointing that out in the connection between those two. So how do we work to prevent it?
You know, one of the things that that every community needs is affordable child care. Children are sometimes left alone with older siblings. When I say older, I'm not necessarily meaning teenage siblings. I'm talking about one's 10 years old and the other ones are 5 and 6 years old. And so when there's the absence of child care because the parents in the household need to be working and sometimes working 2, even 3 jobs, the children are left alone unsupervised. And so because they can't afford child care, affordable child care could make a significant difference in the life of many families. The other thing is affordable housing. Families are making all kinds of choices, doubling up, tripling up, people living in a situation. And some of those people who are moving into your home aren't the safest people to have around your children. And so people who are desperate make desperate decisions, and they're not always wise decisions, and that puts children at risk. And so having affordable housing is another way that could make a difference. After-school extended programs really could help. When a parent knows that they can't get home and they're not going to get home from work until 6, boy, the school systems that have extended programs that last until 6 o'clock so that child's not at home alone trying to cook, fend for themselves, fend for those little younger siblings, that makes a difference in a community as well. When those other kinds of resources are available to families, you see the abuse and neglect rates going down significantly. Schools that have, we think that all schools have free lunch programs. Well, not all schools. Each school gets to set, you know, the criteria for who gets free meals. And, you know, in some states, there are school districts, there are schools that don't call snow days. Why? Because kids, that's the meal that those children get. That's where they get breakfast. That's where they get lunch. And those are the meals that the children have during the day. And so they make all the difference in the world. And so we as a community, we as educators, we as community leaders, we need to always be thinking about the children. I know we're adults vote, children don't, but boy, when we take care of our children, the next generation, we're taking care of ourselves, because who's going to take care of us when we're older? But this generation that's living today, these young ones. And so we need to make mindful decisions, prayerful decisions about our children and their futures.
Amen. And we are in a voting season. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And we've got to expand beyond two issues that are considered the Christian issue. This is me, Tabby. I'm Tabby talking, not you, Sharon Ford or Tom. I'm going to take this on myself. We've got to expand that. And we've got to look at these issues. These are issues for the church. These are issues for the nation. Affordable childcare, affordable housing, after-school programs, these are things we can talk to our politicians about, that we want to see this in our communities. We want to fulfill the mandate that God has for all of us to take care of the orphans and those who need help, to take care of the poor. That is what we are supposed to do as the body of Christ. I'm done.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much for just really walking us through those areas of need and opportunities for us to serve as followers of Christ. And as always, it's so good to have you with us on Mornings with Tom and Tom.